We are down to the third and second to the last installment of our series called Cross Training. Now, this afternoon would be the third one, and to some degree, whenever we talk about this specific topic, this makes a lot of us uncomfortable, precisely because this aspect of our life is something that is too personal. In fact, God would begin to say that this aspect of our life, I'm talking about money, I'm talking about us having the spiritual disciplines of giving, this aspect of our life really comes in competition, okay, with regards to our worship to God. So this afternoon, we're going to talk about giving or generosity. I want us to turn our Bibles for a while to Psalm 37. We're going to read verse 3 to 7. After that, we'll jump to 9, then 21 to 26. It says here, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. The wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing." You know, the verses that we've just read are truth that I believe, you know, if we get to have a full grasp on this one, it's going to break, you know, some mindset that shouldn't be there in the first place. You know, as a Filipino, you know, growing up in this nation, there are so many things in our culture that basically goes against God's word. And we're going to look at some of them. Look at this one in verse 7 and verse 9. It says here, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. For the evildoer shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land." Now, I want us to understand this for a while as we begin to talk about, you know, the following verses here this afternoon. I want us to understand that this is in the context of our prosperity in the area of our finance. We're talking about our attitude towards finance. Look at verse 7 for a while. The first line it says here, "Be still before the Lord." I want you to catch this. The truth is, if we take this verse right here and we'll just preach from this verse, there are so many truths that we could learn from this single verse right here. In fact, if you're here this afternoon and you are having troubles in the area of finance, you get to really grasp this verse right here, it's going to minister to you. Look at the word still. It says here, "Be still before the Lord." Folks, listen. It is rather fascinating that this word still right here, it was derived from the Hebrew word dammam, which means dumb. Talking about the area of finance, our personal finance, the area of provision in our lives. Look at this. When it says here, "Be still before the Lord," it's like saying that in this aspect of your life, be dumb before the Lord. And I don't know if you catch this already, but if you ask me right now, a dumb person, for some reason, do not have the capacity to feed themselves. Meaning to say, they can only work for provision for themselves only at a certain extent. But because they are dumb, at the end of the day, they will have to rely on something else. Aren't you amazed that in your Bible, God never likened us to a dog? Except for one instance where we're like a dog that goes back to our vomit if we sin against God and keep sinning for that matter. But if you look at the pages of your Bible, you and me, friends, we are always likened to sheep. We're always likened to a lamb. We're always likened to a sheep. And everybody knows this. When you were younger, you're watching Discovery Channel, you're watching National Geographic, you would come to understand that in the animal world, sheep are always dumb. And it makes sense, friends, you know, for the writer to say that we have to just be dumb before God, simply because the next line, he basically gave us the reason, one of the reasons why. He said, "Be still before the Lord." Now, I want you to catch this. The truth is, you could be still before the Lord and you could be still apart from the Lord. In any circumstance in our life, we could always be still. And the writer is very careful that if you ought to be still and be dumb in this aspect of your life, you have to make sure it is before the Lord. It is before the presence of God. Because if you are still outside of the presence of God, you might be quiet, but you are anxious about your provision. On the other hand, if you are still before God, He Himself will quiet your soul. Be still before the Lord. If we're trying to quiet ourselves in the area of finance, maybe there's some bills that are piling up, there are debts that need to be paid. I want you to understand this. There is a huge difference between thinking positively and thinking truthfully, meaning to say, you align your thoughts according to God's word. Every single day of our life, to some degree, it could be beneficial for us to always think positively. To some degree, it will be beneficial, but it's not gonna last long. What we need to do is that we have to think truthfully, meaning to say, Lord, here is my situation, and this is what your word is telling me about my situation. So what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to apply the truth of your word in my current situation. That is thinking truthfully. You are applying the truth of God's word into your current financial situation. Who among you, you're believing God for great things in your life in this season? And I tell you what, God is more than willing to provide for you and open up the floodgates of heaven for you. I want us to understand, you know what? I think this is common to all of us here this afternoon. But who among you, you do budgeting. You know, you pull out a chair, sit down on a chair, bring out your money, and try to do budgeting. This money is for this one. This is for my leisure. This is for my entertainment. This is for my gasoline. This is for my car. These are for my dates. We all do all of those things. But who among you can honestly say that a lot of times, or not maybe a lot of times, most of the time, or no, not most of the time, all the time, you always come short. You always come short. What this line in verse 7 is telling us is very simple. He's like basically saying that the next time you pull out a chair and bring out your envelopes and bring out your money, the next time you do budgeting, guess what, friends? You are doing it before the presence of God. It's not like you're going to do everything, then after that, you're going to present it to God. Lord, kulang. No, right there and then, God knows your very situation. God knows your very needs. And I want you to understand, friends, that whenever God sees you doing that, you always tell God, Lord, it's kulang. I always come before God and tell God, Lord, it's kulang. But guess what? God would always tell you, alam kong kulang yan. But haven't you realized that if you read your Bible, there are so many stories of people coming up short? 5 loaves and 2 fish would feed 5,000 people. Come on. And I came to understand that all of us here this afternoon, we always have our own 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. And miracles happen, friends. Miracles happen not in a position of prosperity. Miracles happen always in a position of scarcity. If you are here this afternoon, you check your ATM savings account and there's nothing in there, and there's just scarcity all over you, there's no promotion that's happening to you, I tell you what, you are just ripe for a setup for a great miracle in your financial life. All we have to understand that everything that we're doing here, we're just telling God, Lord, I'm being dumb about this. There's nothing much I can do, Lord. I can only work, Lord, to a certain extent, Father God. But at the end of the day, I just lay down before your altar. He being our Father would always bless us. It makes sense for us to think that, you know what, whenever we talk about this aspect of our life, we always come short. Parents, can you relate well with this one? You think about every single bill that piles up. Patay mo yung aircon kasi baka hindi na kayang bayaran. Things like this one. The Bible is telling us, friend, be still before the Lord. And here's what he's saying. When you are still before the Lord, when your soul is quiet before God, it says here in verse 7, the continuation says, wait patiently for Him. Wait patiently for Him. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. When I was looking into this last night, when I realized that the word still basically means dumb, you know, I found it funny. It's like, okay, still means dumb for that matter. And I realized the word patiently is another thing. Friends, if you look at the word patiently here, you try to dissect that and study that word. It was derived from a word that means what? It means dance. It doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. What do you mean, Lord, patiently means to dance? Now, I want you to catch this. What is God telling us here this afternoon? Who am I here? You are a dancer. Or you know how to dance. I don't dance. Never did in school before. Pastor JD does. Now, look at this one. Every single person that you would see dancing, they are always what? They are always smiling. Meaning to say, friends, dancing is an expression of joy. So what the Bible, what this writer is telling us basically is very simple. As you are still and you are waiting before God, your spirit is like dancing, nay, nay. You just know, you know what, Lord, I am believing for that certain provision. Lord, for my family, we're believing, Lord, for that specific SUV. And inside of you, because you are a child of God, there's something dancing within you. Why? Because you know that provision is coming. You know for a fact that provision is coming. You know how kids, if you give a promise to a child, and they would anticipate that there's just a different smile on their face, they would giddy up at the thought, you know, at a certain point, I'm going to have my Elsa, my Cinderella, or whatever that is. Folks, it's the same thing with us. It's the same thing with us. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently. Wait with anticipation. Wait with excitement. Who am I? You're excited for God's provision for your life. It's very important for us to have that kind of disposition. We don't have to self-pity for that matter. Listen, as a child of God, I want you to understand this. As a child of God, you are walking under the realms of blessings. God has tasked you as an individual to decree blessings for your own life. There's something that I want us to catch here this afternoon. This message is very simple. God is never intimidated by your dreams. God is never intimidated by your dreams. What are the big dreams that you have for your family? What are the big dreams that you have for your own self? I tell you what, even if balik-balik tayo mo yan, God will never be intimidated with all of those things. He has the capacity, the strength, and the power to basically open it up for all of us. You know, there are some of you here as believing God for a certain capital to start up a business. Some of you are believing God, well, you're believing God for your own car this year. I want you to catch this, friends. A lot of times we try to downscale our God-given dream to fit our current situation. Instead of us, you know, pumping up our faith with God's word because we want to see that God is going to bring about fruition in our lives. God is never intimidated by your dreams. Whenever you come before God and present your petitions to God, I don't know if you've realized this, that God is not your Santa Claus. I read my Bible. If I know for a fact that this is God's will for me, whatever I present before God is not just a bucket list or wishful thinking. These things are certain that God will provide it for His children. For our own good, things that we could enjoy in our lifetime. Genesis chapter 30, verse 43, one of the wonderful verses that talks about Jacob. And we here this afternoon being heirs together with Abraham, things like this one we could claim for our lives. Look at this one. It says here, in this way, the man grew exceedingly prosperous. You want to be exceedingly prosperous? You know, sometimes we're not sure if we want to be exceedingly prosperous. And there are reasons why. He grew exceedingly prosperous and came to own large flocks and female and male servants and camels and donkeys. If you try to equate all of those things in our world right now, donkeys and camels could mean, I don't know, a Ferrari or whatever. It could mean so many things. Listen, if you're a child of God, God is going to exceedingly prosper you. He's going to prosper you in your land right now. And there are basically some reasons why people cannot believe, you know, verses like this one. One of those reasons is this one. Sometimes we're just too lazy to believe. Sometimes we're just too lazy to believe. You know what? It takes great amount of faith to believe for something from God. You know, sometimes our belief is just so passive. I know it's going to happen down the road. Instead of us, you know, being eager to believe God for, you know, certain things in our lives. The second reason why we cannot begin to grasp these things is because of unbelief. You get in your word, you get into the Bible, and you know that this is what God is telling you, but you don't want to apply it in your life, and that is unbelief. And to my knowledge, unbelief is basically sin. And thirdly, sometimes that the reason why we cannot begin to embrace this for our life is simply because we are intimidated by wealth. And a lot of times, Christians who are intimidated by wealth do not understand something. They don't understand God's provision. That's why they are becoming so stingy. Because they thought their provision is only for themselves instead of them advancing God's kingdom and being generous to the people around them. In verse 7, it says here, "Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way." Now look at this one. The word "fret" here is basically taken from a word "hara," which means what? Which means jealous. So the verse is like telling us, do not be jealous if your neighbor prospers. Which is very common in the Philippines, crab mentality. It's going to be detrimental in your faith. It's going to be dangerous for you if you keep spending so much time fretting about other people's prosperity. You know why? Because I want you to understand, masyado pong magastos maging insecure. Because you realize you're doing all of these things just for mere quote-unquote competition for that matter. You would always come up short because you have the wrong motivation over so many things. My encouragement for us as Christians is that when other people would begin to prosper, we're going to genuinely celebrate with them. An attitude of gratitude would basically bring breakthroughs in your life. Why would you waste 1 hour every day just to think about other people's lives? And we're so good at this one. That's why we keep backbiting. We keep gossiping. Instead of just thanking God for their provision. And now you tell God, Lord, it's my turn. And it says here, fret not over the one who prosper. Look at this one. In his way. You see that? At the end of the day, why would you fret or be jealous over someone who prospers in his way? That is not for you. You are a Christian. God will prosper you in his way. It's not about your position in your workplace right now. It's not about your surname. It's not about how good looking you are. If you are a child of God, God is going to prosper you in his way. And there are several things at which God can prosper us. At the end of the day, we will not take credit for all of these things. We will just attribute this to God. Just three quick things at which God could prosper us. I'm going to back this up with some stories. Number one, I want you to understand this. God can prosper you in his way by miraculously providing for you. Some of you might be here this afternoon and you're believing God for a certain amount. Guess what? God has the strength and the power to provide for you. He could turn things. We've had several stories of people being miraculously provided by God. The second way at which God can prosper in his way is that he's going to give you favor from men. He's going to give you favor from men. Look at this one. Let me just, you know, narrate a story for a while. I mean, this is the most recent that I can think of. 2 months ago, I had a trip to Bacolod. And I was going to drive my car and I realized my tires should be changed. And I think all of you here understands that buying a tire can be quite costly. It's quite expensive. You get a brand new one. Of course, I need a brand new one because if I don't change my tire, I drive fast going to Bacolod, I might fall off the ravine. That's going to be the end of me. So I went to this tire shop, checked the tires. I was like telling him, I think this tire is good for my car. So I have a certain budget just for 2 tires for that amount. So I was like telling me, this tire, sir, this is worth 4,000 plus. I was like, ooh, medyo mahal, it's quite expensive. Okay, can you please put 1 tire on my car? Let me just check it for a while. So I was ready to buy the tire. The moment they placed the tire, I realized the tire looks good, but I realized the tire is too small. So it's not for my car. So it's like, if you're going to change that with a bigger tire, that's going to be more expensive. I was like, okay, should I stick with a smaller tire? Or believe God for a bigger tire for that matter? So I was like telling him, because I'm now here, I have to change that with a bigger tire, something that fits my car. So I told him, okay, can you bring out the tire that's really good for my car? Place it there. So I was already calculating, man, I can only afford, you know, two tires for that matter. The moment he placed it there, it's perfect for my car. I went to the cashier and I told the cashier, I'm going to pay for two tires. I know it's going to be so expensive. I might go over the budget. And the cashier told me, she was calculating, she said, okay, this big tire just cost $2,500. I was like, ma'am, this is bigger. This is Goodyear brand. This is expensive. Sabi niya, that's my problem, sir. I'm trying to do everything. It's just that what comes out is $2,500. So I told her, I'll get all four. Bilisan mo na. Taglagay nung apat, alis ako agad. Hindi naman ako nanloko. That was what was coming out in the computer. I was just praying for that. Now I have four brand new tires. God will prosper you. He will give you favor from men. Lo and behold, you will be shocked that for some reason, your boss will favor you. The things that were seemingly closed before, for some reason, it's swung open. Meaning to say, God is opening up favors for you. Another way at which God is going to prosper you in His way is by giving you the ability to produce wealth. He can provide for you outright, open the floodgates of heaven. Ito na, Archie. He could also give you favor from men. The other thing is this one. He can give you divine wisdom for you to produce wealth. We have a member from Victory, Quezon City. This woman was well advanced in age, and she was in debt. And one day, she just went before God and told God, Lord, we're praying, God, Lord, that you're going to give me the wisdom, Lord, that I get out of debt, Lord, and just provide for my family. While she was having her quiet time, she was in their garden, and she saw all of their plants, their ampalaya plant. She tried getting the ampalaya plant, tried doing something about it. And guess what? Just to cut the long story short, she now owns Abs Bitter Herbs, which is a multi-million peso company. A pioneer in ampalaya research, for that matter. I want you to understand this. God is going to give you divine connections. God is going to give you divine wisdom. He's going to connect you with the right people. We were having our house repaired. Got a carpenter. While he was working on it, we bought wood for that matter. I realized while talking with him that this guy is a very good craftsman. Meaning he's very good in making furniture. While he was working on it, we had several extra wood. I told him to make cabinets for us. Guess what? Those cabinets could sell a good amount of value. God is going to give you the right wisdom. If you're here this afternoon and you're believing God for maybe for a business down the road, God is going to prosper you by giving you the wisdom for that. Magugulat ka lang, there will be partners who will be coming up to you. And they will just, you know, offer things to you. You're going to be a people magnet, meaning you're going to attract people. You're going to attract investors for that matter. You're going to attract opportunities for your own self. Verse 10, it says here, for the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Hebrews 6:12, it says here, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Look at verse 9 for me. It says here, those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Who am I? You're waiting on God for something. There's always a waiting period. You read the characters in the Bible, there's always a time in their life wherein they'll have to wait for the Lord. At a certain point in your Christian life, you've received a promise from God, and the duration of that, from you receiving the promise and you really having the promise in your hands, takes time. There's a duration for that, and that is your waiting time, and that is the time wherein God is going to mold your character. Those are the times wherein God is going to mold your character. And it says here, those who wait for the Lord shall what? Shall inherit the land. I don't know if you catch this, but if you're talking about inheritance is something that you don't work hard for. Inheritance is something you just receive. Someone else worked hard for it, and you're just a recipient of it. And I want you to understand is now that you are a Christian, you don't have to be a son or a daughter of a sugar baron to have an inheritance. Because you are a child of God, even right here, right now, God is setting in motion the inheritance for you and your children. He's setting it up all for you. Here's the question for all of us now. What do we do while we wait? As we wait for God's provision, what do we do? Humiga na parang maging wantamad. Now look at this one. It says here in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your injustice as the noonday. Verse 3 says here, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend His faithfulness. What do we do as we wait for God's provision? The Bible says, trust in the Lord. And friends, listen carefully. You cannot trust someone that you do not know. You cannot trust someone for your provision if you don't have a history of trust or history of walking with that person. If you're here and you are a son, you are a daughter, or you are a wife, you know for a fact that your husband will come home and there's going to be food on the table. You just trust that fact. Because you've been walking for quite some time already. So at the end of the day, there are situations in your life wherein God is teaching you to trust Him. That God is just basically building up your faith muscles. It starts fiber after fiber. One situation at a time. Trust in the Lord. The next thing that the Bible is telling us is that we have to do good. It's very simple. As a Christian, we have to do good. Why? Because if you do good, there's going to be a sense of fulfillment as a Christian. If you have a sense of fulfillment, you have a sense of what? Completeness. Because you're having a thriving relationship with God. Then you don't have time to fret about other people's prosperity or success. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. That is what we do. That as you keep delighting in the Lord, God is just going to basically, you know, work out things for you. Look at this one. In Psalm 34, verse 10, it says here, the lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. If every single day of your life is just marked wherein you just delight in God's presence in your life, just like what we were singing a while ago, here in your presence, Lord. There's a reason why David would say, Lord, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper, kahit doorkeeper man lang ako, God, than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Because David knows that provision is here, right in the boundaries of God's presence. As you take delight in God's presence in your life, He's going to provide for you. You're going to lack no good thing. No good thing. You're going to have it all for that matter. Verse 3, it says here, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. The land that we're talking about here is basically the land of flowing with milk and honey, which is Canaan. If a while ago we were talking about inheritance, now we're talking about what? That we have to inhabit the land. Your mind should be fixed on God's dwelling place. Because if you wander around by murmuring, you get into the wilderness. Every single day of our life, sometimes we wake up, man, wala na po tayong pagkaon, wala na po. We always murmur for that matter. We always nag each other. And by doing that, you basically walk away from the provision of God. If you're here this afternoon and you are a parent, you have no idea how powerful your words are. When your kids would come up to you and tell you, Daddy, can I buy something like that? You don't want to say words like, anak, wala tayong pera, next time na lang. I want you to understand that the words that you release in your mouth is very powerful. Instead of telling your kids, Lord, wala tayong pera, you're like declaring that in your life. Instead of saying that, why don't you bring your kids and lay hands on the very thing that is believing God for? And when God provides for it, He begins to point His finger on God and tell God, Lord, I love You so much. Thank You for providing this. Thank You, Lord, for providing this for Daddy. Thank You, Lord, for providing this, Lord, for Mommy. Thank You, Lord, for Your provision, Lord, in our family. Do not sentence yourself. Every single day of your life, we talk to God, Lord, I am a blessed person. I am always the head and never the tail. I am blessed coming in and going out, God. Our words are very powerful when it comes to God's provision in our lives. Verse 5, it says here, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will act. Look at that one. Can you imagine that the Bible is telling us what we have to do as we wait for God's provision. And lastly, it says here, you have to commit yourself to the Lord. Commit your ways to the Lord. I want us to bring out our palms for a while. Just look at your palms for a while. Look at your palms. You see this palm of yours? Do you realize how powerful your palms are when you lay hands on the things that you're doing? Laying on of hands, that's why the Bible says we are not hasty in laying on of hands. Because why? There's so much power in this. laying on of hands, it's like you are a reservoir of God's power and authority. And the moment you lay hands on something, you're like unleashing that power and authority over that thing. Lay hands on the things that you're believing God for. Lord, I'm believing, Lord, for this one. You're like releasing so much blessing in your life. Every single day of our life, the moment you open your desk, whatever your workplace is, you lay your hands on the things that you're doing. With the little money that you have, lay hands on your 5 pesos and tell God, Lord, I command this 5 pesos to multiply. That is basically the power that we have as a Christian. And my prayer is that, you know, friends, these are not wishful thinking. These are things that God has given us as benefits or bonus, as God's children for that matter. A few more things and we're going to end in verse 21 to 22. I like this. Look at this one. It says here, the wicked borrows but does not pay back. Now look at this one. Sinabi na nga wicked, mag-expect ka pa na babayaran ka. Uy, bakit mo ako binabayaran? Sabi nga wicked siya, hindi ka babayaran yan. But if we're talking about you now, the wicked borrows and does not pay back, talking about you now, but the righteous is what? Generous and gives. Meaning to say, it is imperative that if you call yourself a Christian, you have to be generous. Your level of generosity is a good gauge of your spirituality. Your level of generosity is a good gauge of how much you understand and comprehend the gospel. One year this afternoon, you're telling God, Lord, I want to be a generous person. I've seen people who are not generous. Good friends were not generous. But as we journeyed together, I've seen how they became generous in increments. And then at a certain point in their life, God will just continue to bless them. It's basically a principle that you find in the Bible. You keep sowing seeds. Guess what? If you keep sowing seeds, you don't reap seeds. What do you reap? You reap an entire tree, for that matter, that bears so much fruit. Every single act of generosity, you're basically planting seeds, not for other people, but for yourself, so that you could bless other people. The word generous here comes from the word hanan, which means to stoop down in kindness. Now, it doesn't talk about, you know, superior and inferior, for that matter. It just tells you your position. If you stoop down in kindness, it gives you a picture that you are always there and never the tail. That you're always the lender and never the borrower, for that matter. It is imperative that if we are Christians, we have to be generous and we have to keep giving, for that matter. I have a friend. You know, this person, when I met the person in the church, the person didn't have anything. You know, the person didn't have anything. You know, my wife and I tried helping the person out. You know, the person, in fact, at a certain point in his life, got sick, you know, tried blessing the person. When the person earned a certain amount, he tried practicing tithing, for that matter. He tried practicing generosity, for that matter. And in increments, we've seen the growth of this person until the discipline became a delight. That delight now, giving now, is a delight for the person. And I look at the person right now, the person has been tremendously blessed by God. You want to be blessed by God, keep giving. Folks, I want us to understand that there's a big difference between being stingy and being frugal. Frugality might not be for us, but being stingy is not. I want you to understand this. God is going to bless you. God is going to bless you abundantly so that you could be a blessing to other people. So that you could be a blessing in the advancement of God's kingdom. You know, there are so many generous people that I know. Folks, listen. Generosity sets in motion God's favor and blessing for you. The most generous person that I know, of course, is my wife. It's just unbeatable to beat her in the area of generosity. Sometimes when we would go out and I'm about to pay for something, minsan uunahan niya na ako nabayaran. I was like thinking, saan mo kinuha yung pera? Hindi naman ka dumidigan ng pera. She's just blessed because she's a generous person. Hindi naman po siya snatcher. Hindi naman po siya hold-upper. While we were working on our receipts, you know, for the month, we realized that, you know, much of the things that I spend money on, of course, number one is food. It's obvious. And secondly, it's, you know, just basically being a blessing to other people. Listen, friends, if you keep blessing, you don't lose anything. If you keep blessing, you don't lose anything. In fact, you have everything to gain. You have everything to gain. You're basically telling God, Lord, here I am. Sabi ko, Lord, I'm telling you, Lord, I am a worthy steward. Lord, you can trust me for provision, Lord, so come on. Bless me, God, so that I can bless other people. There's no ounce of greed in that. If you understand how basically how the kingdom of God works. Look at this one, James chapter 1, verse 17, it says here, a few more things and we're going to end. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. Then it says here, who does not change like shifting shadow. Aren't you glad that you serve a God who does not change like shifting shadow? You know what this means? It gives us a picture that God is generous now and He's going to be generous tomorrow. He's going to be generous on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday. It's not like God is generous now and tomorrow is going to be stingy. No! He does not change like shifting shadows. And guess what? He has the entire reservoir of blessings for us. He has the capacity, not just the capacity, He has the desire to bless you, friends. And my prayer is this one, as God will continue to bless you, my prayer is that you're going to be a channel of blessings to other people. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. Look at this one. Verse 25. Let me just end with this verse. It says here, I have been young, and now I'm old. Here's his conclusion. He said, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. Listen, God will not forsake you. Maybe some of you here, you are in a season of need. And I tell you what, this is the perfect season not to walk away from the faith. At the lowest point of your life, do not walk away from the faith. You know why? Because God is unpacking your breakthrough. Be still and wait patiently with dancing inside of you, because you know for a fact you are excited that God is going to bring about the money that you have been believing God for. And then it says here, or his children begging for bread. It is as precise and as clear cut as that. Friends, listen. As a child of God, as a son and as a daughter of God, you will not beg. You will not beg. That is not the position that God would want to see you. And God being a heavenly Father, our heavenly Father, will basically provide for us. Because you are not forsaken and your children will not beg for bread. Now it gives us a picture of our responsibility. Because you will not be forsaken, you will be ever lending generously. If you keep lending ever generously, your children will become a blessing. God is a generational God. You become a generous person now, it affects your future generations. Your children will be blessed. Your children will not run out of blessings. Where are we taking all of these things? I want you to understand this. When Jesus died on the cross, He wasn't a consolation. He was the perfect thing that God could give all of us. If you understand the gospel, if you know for a fact that God gave His best, you will not withhold giving the best to other people. Amen. Who am I believing God for provision in your life right now? Let me just pray for you.